You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how you doing?
Yo, Jeff, I'm doing well. We got some more stuff to talk about our friendly NL West neighbors to the south, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, for the third time in the past four off-seasons, the Padres seem intent on winning the off-season, and I think they're doing it the best they've done so far. Of the three times, this is the best time they've won the off-season, probably. They added a couple more players on Monday, so we're going to talk about that, and I mean, really, our whole conversation is going to stem from that, talk the specifics, and then talk about team building in general and how the Padres have done it, how the Dodgers have done it, and kind of what it means for baseball in general. So that's the plan for today. But first, I want to remind everybody, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right. So after trading for Blake Snell on Sunday, the Padres added Korean infielder Ha Seong Kim from the KBO. And on Monday afternoon, and then Monday evening, actually, as we're recording this, I guess it's not officially official yet. In fact, last we heard, Yu Darvish hasn't even officially been told he's being traded. I hasn't heard anything, apparently, except from what he's read on Twitter. But it appears that the Padres are acquiring Yu Darvish from the Cubs for Zach Davies and some prospects, all of whom are very young and like only one of the prospects has even played a minor league game in the United States. And so it's definitely a win now move for the Padres and a maybe win later move for the Cubs. And so, you know, talking the specifics of those deals, let's talk about Kim first. It was kind of interesting move just because he is a shortstop and third baseman. And as any Padres fan will tell you, the Padres are set at shortstop and third base for the next, you know, 6 years or so at least. And so it was interesting that he was that the Padres are the team that Kim ended up going to. I don't know if they're planning on using him at second base or what. Do you have any thoughts on the Kim signing?
That's interesting because the initial thoughts were, hey, maybe he plays second base. Maybe Cronenworth is used in this Yu Darvish trade that suddenly started picking up. And then it went from there. But we'll get a little bit more into this later in the show. But it seems like they're kind of taking the route of the Dodgers and just having as many good players on the team as possible. They're probably going to lose Jerks and Profar. So Kim would pretty easily slot into that, at least moving around the infield and being able to play when other guys need days off or whatever else happens. So in terms of that, it's just one of those small moves where, you know, we've seen the Dodgers have Chris Taylor and Kiki Hernandez for multiple years filling a similar type role where they're moving around and just kind of filling in where needed. And that seems to be where they're going with this, where they're just, you know, adding good players and they'll find ways to get them in there when they can.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what Kim can do. We've never really seen a hitter come over from Korea and really be, at least from the KBO, and really be successful. Shin-Soo Chu came over from Korea, but he basically started his professional career in the United States. He wasn't a KBO guy. Other than that, like, I don't know, Jung Ho-Gung maybe is the best offensive player who's come over from the KBO. G-Man Choi did, but you know, there hasn't really been a big impact hitter come over from the KBO. And Kim has really good stats. He has good numbers. He looks like he's a good ball player, but it's so hard to tell how much of that is the fact that he's playing in a lesser league. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do. Obviously, if he could play shortstop, you assume he could play second base, and Cronenworth, we saw, can play multiple positions. So that'll probably work out for them. The Darvish trade was a little bit little more surprising, I guess, although we heard pretty early on Monday that the Padres were still thinking about trading for Darvish even after getting Zach Davies. Not Zach Davies. What's the guy's name?
Blake Snell.
Wow. I knew it was some guy who looks 13 and can't grow facial hair. I just got the wrong name. But they added Yu Darvish, and the bottom line is the Padres have a really good pitching rotation now.
I mean, Yu Darvish is coming off one of his best years in recent memory in terms of complete kind of dominance on almost every start basis. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that his contract, which is why the Cubs are trading him in a salary dump of sorts, it's not that bad of a contract, especially for the Padres, if they can hit on one or two of these other younger pitchers that maybe develop into something. You know, if Paddock is your number four or five, your rotation isn't that bad. So that's kind of where they're at right now. It does lead a question of, is Lamet, you know, do they believe he may not be able to make it through a full season, or are they getting some insurance in that sense in case his arm doesn't hold up? But right now with Snell, Darvish, Lamet, you know, and then Paddock as your four, and then one of those young guys probably at the number five right now, it's a pretty solid rotation. And it's kind of crazy how they've added two guys that were probably top, Darvish top 5-10 last year, Snell top 15-20 in general, maybe in terms of stuff, that you still don't automatically put them above the Dodgers rotation, which is kind of crazy in the Dodgers sense. And then I also tweeted this out, is that, you know, the Dodgers, we talked a little bit yesterday, but they're not going to make a panic move. They're not going to, you know, go out and sign Bauer just because the Padres did this. And realistically, getting David Price back plus natural progression of Dustin May and Julio Urias is going to add to the rotation, plus Walker Buehler probably, you know, more than likely being healthy and ready to go the whole year rather than starting slow and having a blister issue. And then, you know, Kershaw's, you're not entirely sure, but you're expecting him to be at least pretty decent again. So it's definitely a matchup of rotations that they can go toe-to-toe with each other for 2021 and beyond, since they have some of these guys for a couple more years.
Yeah, and this rotation definitely has a high ceiling. There's definitely some question marks about durability. You mentioned Lamet. You know, Darvish has a history of injuries. Snell has questions about his ability to go three times through a lineup for sure. And, you know, basically any pitcher's arm can fall off at any time. And so it's a little bit risky, but it's obviously the Padres have absolutely improved themselves. They're still offensively, they are depending a lot on guys. You know, Will Myers last year suddenly thought he was a good baseball player, and he hadn't been good in several years. And so it'll be interesting to see if Myers can repeat that. Trent Grisham, you know, does he step forward or step back? So this is a Padres team that, as it's put together right now, I could see them winning 100 games next year. I could also see them winning 80 and just kind of having everybody, you know, I think 90-something is the most likely. I think they are clearly the second-best team in the National League and ready to challenge the Dodgers a little bit. But there's definitely some risk there.
Yeah, there's a lot of risk with some of these guys. But, you know, it's up to them to kind of prove it and go out and get after it. And then on the Dodgers side, I said yesterday, a little bit of a fire that they maybe didn't know they were going to need. They seem to be a little bit annoyed with the Padres in terms of, maybe not annoyed, but they just, you know, the Dodgers used to be that young, fun team with the bubbles in the dugout and all that kind of other stuff. They kind of matured from that. But then after the Grisham home run and kind of all that went on, they kind of put the pedal to the metal and finished the season strong and put the Padres away in the end of September. So it's going to be fun. You hope for Padres fans' sakes that it doesn't implode, but for our sake, it'd be fun to watch that implode.
Absolutely. All right, we'll come back in a minute, and we will talk about team building in general and how the Padres have gone about it. But first, let's talk about betting on sports. As you know, that's legal now, and not just in Vegas, but all over the place. And the place to do is at betonline.ag, We've got college football bowl games going on. We've got the NFL playoffs getting ready to start. Plus, you know, the NBA season has started. So there's a lot of sports going on right now. And if you are looking to gamble on sports, you should definitely be using betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also talk a little bit about Built Bar. You know, it's delicious. It's healthy. It's got a ton of protein. It's the best tasting protein bar in the world. And you might not think that's saying much because you've eaten protein bars and they're all gross. But Built Bar is actually, it tastes like a candy bar. It's delicious. And if you haven't tried it yet, really, you are only you're hurting yourself. I don't know why I'm still telling you about this, because if you haven't tried it yet, maybe you don't deserve Built Bar. Who am I kidding? Yes, you do. Everybody deserves Built Bar, because if, whatever you're trying to do, you're trying to just lose weight, Built Bar is great because it's low calorie, it's low carb. You're doing keto, it's perfect for keto. You're trying to build muscle, ton of protein. And if you just like delicious snacks, they've got 18 different flavors. All of them are delicious, and there's definitely something you will like. So all you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right. We're going to forego the obscure former Dodger again today. We'll get back to that later this week, hopefully. But talking about the Padres making these trades, you know, the Padres have had one of the best farm systems in baseball. Obviously, they've graduated some guys to the majors. Fernando Tatis was part of that farm system. They've brought up a couple pitchers, and a couple more pitchers are knocking on the door. They used some of that farm system to trade for Trent Grisham. They traded for Tommy Pham and Jake Cronenworth, and now they've traded for Snell and Darvish. And it reminds me a lot of the way the Dodgers have handled things the last few years. In 2018, Corey Seager went down, and the Dodgers needed a shortstop. And at the trade deadline, they traded five prospects to the Orioles for Manny Machado. And just like the Padres situation here, the Dodgers didn't trade any of their top prospects. They went more with quantity over quality. And they traded a lot of guys. They got Manny Machado. It worked out, really. Manny Machado helped them. That was the year the Dodgers had to play game 163. The Dodgers might not even make the postseason. They definitely wouldn't win the division without Machado. And they made it to the World Series. And, the year before that, they traded for Yu Darvish. They traded three prospects, one of whom was somewhat highly touted, but Willie Calhoun didn't really have a spot on the Dodgers because he can't play defense. And then two other prospects who were, they went with quantity over quality again a little bit. And so they've used their farm system to trade for guys who can help their big league team. And that seems to be the same formula the Padres are following right now. And honestly, Vince, when you think about it, following the formula the Dodgers have done the last few years is not a bad idea.
Yeah, not a bad idea, and honestly, a little annoying in the sense that the other teams are getting smarter. You know, the Dodgers have been far and above the smartest team in the division, at least in, if not all of baseball, for the past 5, 6, 7 years. And now that other teams, the Zaidi's over in San Francisco, you got to imagine that they're probably going to be decent in 2 to 3 years. Maybe the Padres elevated that a little bit more, and it's been a combination. The way the Padres have been made, it's a little bit different in the sense of the Dodgers actually have a lot of homegrown players. The Padres right now do not, but they've used a lot of prospects in order to get players that are going to help them out. Even Fernando Tatis isn't necessarily a homegrown player. They ended up getting a steal with the James Shields trade. It's similar to something the Dodgers have done, getting not to that extent. Obviously Tatis is probably a little bit more talented than Chris Taylor and Max Muncy, or younger and more talented, in the sense of he's it's just a different dynamic. But in terms of the Padres, they are, like I said, dealing from depth. And, you know, in this Yu Darvish trade, they're taking on salary. They're using the Cubs being crying poor against them in order to lessen the prospect haul. And I believe, you know, of the four guys, I think they were all in the 11 to 16 range in terms of Padres prospects, which is, you know, even with a strong system like the Padres have, they have like four guys in the top 100, I think, or they should when the rankings come out. Even with that, you know, guys that are 11 to 16 prospect range for that team is something that you're not really worried about giving up, especially with how young they are and kind of how the window is. Machado is only going to get older, and who knows how he'll age. Tatis, if they don't lock him down for an extension, you know, he's only got four or five years left before he's out of town. So they got to capitalize on this window now, and that's kind of what the Dodgers have done. But they've been able to continuously draft guys and make these little deals that have been able to keep that window open for a long time. And that's the only thing with the Padres, we don't know. You know, obviously they have a good core right now, a good team right now, but how long until are they able to keep it going, or is it going to kind of implode, as we've seen now with the Cubs, who are selling off pieces and crying poor in a time when their division is in shambles and it'd be very easy to win that division.
Yeah, and your point about the Tatis trade, it kind of brings up another point. That Tatis was only 17 years old when the Padres traded for him, and that's something that a team like the Padres at that time could do, because the Padres in 2016 were not a good team and were not expecting to be a good team for a couple of years, and they weren't. And that's kind of one of the big differences between the Padres and the Dodgers, and how they've done it is the Dodgers aren't going to go trade a major league starter, you know, of James Shields quality for a 17-year-old prospect, because that's a team that rebuilding, that's a method that rebuilding teams use. It's not a thing that good teams battling for a championship that year do. And, you know, it's kind of the same, you know, we were talking before we started recording that the Padres went into this offseason with advantage over the Dodgers in that they had easier paths to upgrade, because the Dodgers, you know, played like a 116-win team last season, over a full season. The Padres were very good, but it was more like a 90 to 95-win team. And it's easier to upgrade a team, a 90-win team, than a 115-win team. And so, you know, if the Dodgers had traded for Yu Darvish again, or what's his name? Blake Snell. Man, I may never remember his name. That may be harder than pronouncing Nolan Arenado's name correctly, is remembering Blake Snell's name. Anyway, either one of those guys, yeah, obviously they'd be an upgrade to the Dodger rotation, but not in the same way that they're an upgrade to the Padres rotation. They'd slot in the, you know, 3 or 4 slot in the Dodgers rotation instead of a 1 or 2 slot. And so it is a lot easier to upgrade a lesser team than a dominant team.
Especially right now with teams that, you know, are trying to lower salary or whatever it is, the Dodgers just don't have the bandwidth to make those type of deals right now, and they don't really need to, because, like I said, trading for a guy like Blake Snell or Yu Darvish, does it upgrade the team overall? Yes. Enough to maybe justify the prospects that were traded. You know, the Padres traded their number 2 prospect, which is, you know, somewhat comparable to Josiah Gray, in the fact Josiah Gray is the Dodgers' top pitching prospect, but, you know, Mackenzie Gore is far and above that right now. So they're similar in that. And then they traded a guy that was similar to Kaybert Ruiz in that he was a top catching prospect and kind of fell off, where Ruiz isn't quite there yet, but, you know, similar to that. And the Dodgers don't really have a reason to trade Josiah Gray and Kaybert Ruiz for Blake Snell right now, especially if he's not going to be your game one playoff starter. So that's, yeah, like I said, it's kind of where they're at right now. And the Dodgers, it would be nice to be able to take advantage, but the types of players that are being traded right now or are being on the market in order for some type of salary dumps aren't really guys that kind of move the needle for the Dodgers, unless one of those happens to become a third baseman and, you know, the negotiations with Turner don't quite work out. But, you know, it's not really out there for the Dodgers to kind of take advantage. So the Padres, have more room to take that advantage, and that's what they're doing. And like, I'm excited because it's fun. It's nice to see someone that's trying to take down the Dodgers, but doing it in the way where you actually feel like they could do it. You know, a few things go wrong for the Dodgers, a few things go right for the Padres, and the Dodgers hit in second place pretty easily.
Yeah, it'll make things exciting next year. It is interesting now that the Cubs have signaled that they are giving up. You know, they have a right-handed hitting third baseman who might be on the trade block. Obviously, he only has 1 year left on his deal, and it's for a lot of money. And so, you know, if the Cubs are really just wanting to cut salary, and you know, the deal that they made for Darvish makes you wonder if Chris Bryant could be had pretty cheap. You also wonder if this increases the chances of the Rockies selling Arenado and maybe even Trevor Story and basically anybody they have, because the Rockies have to be looking at this division and their team and thinking, okay, well, there's no way that we are going to compete in the next few years, so we might as well rebuild right now. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Bryant and Arenado get traded in the next month or two, and you know, both of those guys could potentially fit with the Dodgers.
That's very possible, and it's something that, like I said, the Dodgers would be in position for something like that. That's a significant upgrade at a position of need, and they would be able to use either their monetary reasons in order to get these guys and lessen the prospect load, or have the other team take on some money and upgrade the prospects a little bit. You know, the Dodgers are almost at a point where all their starters are either tied down for at least 2 years, other than Corey Seager, and the vacancy at third base, are either tied down for 2+ years, and they're young. So they're at a point where they can take advantage of other teams in order to significantly upgrade. And we've seen them do it before. Using the Red Sox just this past season, we saw that, you know, take advantage of a team wanting to get under the luxury tax, take on the money, take on David Price's half of his contract, and get somebody that significantly upgraded the team.
All right, so the Padres have given us 2 episodes to start this week now. We'll see what A.J. Preller has for us on Tuesday. You know, I assume he'll be trading for Mike Trout, and we'll be here to talk about that and how that impacts the Dodgers. Or if the Padres take a break, we will just be here tomorrow to talk about, you know, regular Dodger stuff. You have anything to wrap up this episode, Vince?
Yeah, just like I said, shout out to the Padres for giving us something to talk about and getting those juices flowing again, thinking about baseball in 2021. We've been, you know, just kind of basking in the World Series championship, but it's always fun to start talking about next year and, you know, how the Dodgers are going to win the division again, or how they are going to at least compete for it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so that'll wrap it up for today. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, go ahead and subscribe there, even if you don't use it, because that helps other people find us. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open in all of those places. You can DM us anytime, unless you are like the girl Daniela Turner, who DM'd me today just because she's new to Twitter and just wants to make friends. Sorry, Daniela, I'm taken. But the rest of you, feel free to DM me. You can email us at lockedondodgers@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye.